Why going to school is so difficult. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Why going to school is so difficult. Going to school is so difficult for any number of reasons. The primary reason that going to school is difficult is that all of us feel that we know it all already. We know everything already. We know everything that anyone can teach us. We know everything that anyone can show us. We certainly know more than our parents do. We knew that from the time that we were little children. Now, in truth, we did. In truth, we did know more than our parents did. We knew more than anyone else did. But the thing is, we were taught that we did not know it. And so, we have been living on that principle ever since. On the principle that we do not know. We do not know anything. We are going to school because we are stupid, because we are unlearned, we are unaware, we are untaught, we are unteachable, perhaps. And it's a very difficult thing to do. Very difficult thing to do. And people find that going to school is a major task. And when people who are 75 and 80 or 90 go to school and take a course, everyone says, "My goodness sakes, why are you taking a course? You know, you're going to be dead in a few days, you old coot, you know. What's the matter with you? Don't you have any brains? Why are you going to school?" Well, maybe they woke up to the fact that those things were delightful to them. Those things were interesting to them. They wanted to learn. And so here this aged brain, which is supposed to be slowed down and not learning very easily, is taking on these things with great enthusiasm and great gusto. I look at many of the legislators of all nations, and why is it that they're in their late 60s and 70s before they get these legislative jobs? You would think they'd have them when they were young and full of vitality and really ready to do things. But no, they get older until they do it. And when they do it, then they hang on to it because they know that one subject. That becomes their long-term memory. And long-term memory is a very easy thing to work with. Short-term memory is very difficult to work with. It doesn't have to be, but it is because we've been trained that it's very difficult to work with. Do you know that? This is what they tell you. Long-term memory, it always is there. We've got it. Short-term memory, and we have to keep renewing it again and again and again. Short-term memory is memory that you don't use very often. Things that you don't have very readily in your consciousness. Now, why is it that school is so difficult? Well, number one, our parents gave us a bad rap. They said, "If you don't behave, I'm going to call the policeman." And so from that day on, we hated policemen. Now, the policemen never did anything to us. The policemen were not bad people. They did their jobs, but our parents made us hate them. Do you know there's a country in this world called Europe? And it is the silliest country in the world. Not like America. I don't know how Nigeria is, but not like America. Or maybe London, but not like America. In America, we have a Santa Claus. And Santa Claus comes on Christmas Eve with toys for all the good boys. Maybe a little coal in the sock for somebody who's been a little bad, but always toys. Always everything. Always whatever your request is answered. But in Europe, they have the naughty Santa Claus. I don't know what they call him, but they have a naughty Santa Claus who, if you are a bad boy or a bad girl, he's going to come and put a sack over your head and carry you away. And he's going to take you away and he's going to do bad things to you and, you know, spank you and stuff like that. And what a terrible thing to think about at Christmas time with Santa Claus. Now, let's just take that a step further. Ellen Jeremini, what is Christmas? Who comes at Christmas time? What's Christmas all about? Please tell us loudly and clearly.
Christmas is all about remembering the birth of Christ. Actually, the birth in myself, I'm celebrating this at Christmas. And it's a time of sharing love, sharing givingness, sharing who I am, sharing being, sharing that I am the Christ child.
Why then would they have the idea of a naughty Santa Claus coming to take away bad boys and girls?
Santa Claus is actually celebrated in Europe on the 6th of December, and it's not on Christmas.
Well, what is it that you have coming later?
The Christ child is on Christmas.
What is it that you have that's a bad guy?
That's a guy who is with Santa Claus.
Oh, he's with Santa Claus?
Yes.
Is he Santa Claus's helper or what?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah.
And what does he do?
Well, he punishes the bad kids.
How does he punish them?
Well, they put them even in a bag.
And does what?
And takes them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does he do?
I have never seen him doing anything.
Thank you. So, I'm going to ask Sylvia a question. Has Sylvia ever seen the Easter Bunny? But does Sylvia know the Easter Bunny comes and brings colored eggs? And
oh, Santa Claus came every year.
And does Santa Claus come? Does Sylvia believe in Santa Claus even though she never saw him? I doubt that Sylvia saw Santa Claus because, I mean, I really looked. I looked good when I was a kid.
So
and I'm sure that she probably did too. Now, did you ever see Santa Claus?
Yes.
You saw Santa Claus?
Every year to
you
our
saw
house
Santa Claus.
With his helper.
My God.
But he never used the
I should have gone over to
either.
I should have gone over to Europe. I would have seen Santa Claus. Now, I'm talking about education, believe it or not. But we're educated to think that Santa Claus, if we're bad, is going to do bad things to us. And that's not very nice. We're thinking that if we are bad boys and girls, the policeman's going to come and take us away and put us in jail, you know. That's what many parents say to their children to get them to cooperate, you know. And the teacher in school, until just a very few years ago, oh, maybe it's more than that, time flies, at least 50 years ago or better, the teacher in school at 50 years ago would take a ruler, you know, a ruler is, and then she'd slap it on your hand when you're doing something naughty. And my goodness, I don't ever remember anybody being slapped on the hand. That must have been in some of the other classes. But I heard about it. I heard about it being done. And I heard the teachers are making the children stand in the corner. And in years before that, they wore a dunce cap, you know, a circular witch's cap that said dunce on it. That meant that they were stupid children. Now, what a way to educate children and influence children, isn't it? How any of those children ever grew up to be sane and healthy and well-founded in anything is unbelievable. But they did. They did. Now, why did they? They did it because Ellen is going to explain this term to us right now, or maybe one of you would like to explain it. They lived their original purity and integrity. Now, what is their original purity and integrity? Can anyone tell me?
The original purity and integrity is the idea of God in each and every being.
Would you repeat that? That was excellent.
The original purity and integrity is the idea of God in every being.
Now, really, you should write that down and put that up over your bed. That's the truth. Say it again, Seville. Come on.
The original purity and integrity is the ideal idea of God, of every being.
Excellent. So if the original purity and integrity of every being is their ideal recognition of God in them, their ideal awareness of God, the ideal understanding of God in them, why isn't this taught to children? And if it were taught to children, what would happen to children who were taught that sort of a thing? Would you like to enunciate that to us? What would happen to children who were taught to recognize their original purity and integrity and be in that awareness? Christy, would you like to play with that?
They'll be themselves and have fun. They have the fundamental value.
You couldn't say it better. To be themselves and have fun. Now, if every child were taught to be themselves and have fun, they'd be their original purity and integrity, wouldn't they? They would be the ideal of God in them. They would be living that, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Now, do you think every parent on the face of the earth would be the happiest parent in the world if they could be allowed to teach that to their children as they were growing up?
Yes.
Do you think they are allowed to teach that to their children as they're growing up? Anybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, why is it we have varied from it? We have deterred from it. Why have we not continued to do that right now, you and I? Why are we starting just now all of a sudden to let go of the past and to live in the now? Why are we just now all of a sudden doing it? You see, we're slow learners, you know. The kids learned it fast. They knew it. And then we told the kids, who do you think you are, God? Who do you think you are, the white dwarf in the snow? What makes you think you know all the answers? And they may say it wrong, but if they don't start saying what they do say and what they do know, they'll never start saying it right because they haven't got the flow going. They want to get the flow going. And we, if I say, all right, what's 2 times 14? And so you instantly give me a number without thinking, and then I say, that's right. What is it?
28.
See, but if you just instantly give it without thinking, she'd know. But she instantly stops and thinks. That we instantly stop and think, do we know it? What is it? How do I do it? Is that a simple one or is that a tough one? Am I going to take two 14s together and come up with 28 or 2 times 14 and come up with 28? How am I going to do that, you know? Or am I going to 14, 15, 16, to count up to the 28 to get it all in there? You see, we limit ourselves because we take our second thought. Our first thought, if we could train ourselves to do that, would be the thought that would be illuminating us and opening us to all knowledge and all wisdom. Now, wouldn't it be lovely to teach that in schools? Wouldn't it be lovely to do that? But why would it become a difficult thing to do? Well, so long as it is called academic, it's okay. But the minute you call it God, the minute you call it religion, then people fight for and against it. And really, be a good girl. Why should I be a good girl? Because when you're a good girl, good things happen to you. Well, why do good things happen to me? Well, that's just the way the principle works. What's the principle? Well, that's how the world is founded. Oh, how the world founded? Well, God founded. Oh, see, finally we get down to God. And if we could just stay away from God, the word, stay away from religion, the term, then we could do these things. What does a psychologist do? What does a psychiatrist do? What does a philosopher do? They merely work with the principle, with the original purity and integrity, and they bring it forth in beautiful ways. Now, if we could have psychologists, you know, and philosophers teaching our elementary schools, wow, what brilliant students! There'd be no hang-ups with God. There'd be no hang-ups with religion. There'd be no Jesus and Buddha and all these other neat guys who came around teaching the same thing. There'd be no problem with that. There would just be the philosophy. It would just be the principle. And what would happen to the children? From there on, they would just soar. It's like the little boy who was visiting last night. And he and his brothers and his dad were here for the father's birthday. And the little boy said to Anita, when she told him that she was flying to New Zealand, all the way around the world, you know, 21 hours, he said, are you taking a rocket ship? You know, are you taking a spaceship? You know, and I thought, you know, neat, yes. That could be a spaceship. And if he thinks it's a spaceship, he would create it for her, and he would have it for her, and no limit. But you see, he was ready to go off into the fantastic Buck Rogers days and the days of many years ago when things were just starting and people were allowed to think crazy thoughts because nobody believed them. But now, they believe them because they happen. But that is what makes education exciting. But what educates a child most quickly and most positively and most totally is for the child to... I'm going to ask you the question, and if you come up with the answer, I'll be very, very happy. What would bring the child out the fastest? Anybody? Quickly, just say the first thing comes to your mind. The child would believe
in himself.
I had to go the whole route with you. The child would believe in himself. If a child believes in himself, he does wonders. What are these geniuses? They just believe in themselves. I go into the Apple store with my computer and I ask them questions about my Apple computer, and they don't know everything. They haven't had a chance to study it all and be aware of it. And I say, now, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I? Now, just a minute, I haven't had that. And I say, well, give me your opinion. He said, well, I don't have an opinion. I said, well, have an opinion. They're the geniuses. Now, why aren't you a genius too? They're a genius because they believe in themselves, and you have yet to believe in yourself. So give me an answer. And the guy says, okay. And he gives me an answer, and it's right. Nice. And it works. I said, well, should we try this for another one? But, you know, I have a lot of fun with them. And sometimes I really tick them off because they don't want to play a game with me. They want to be too sophisticated. They want to be too proper. And so I say things to them, and as I say these things to them, they act, oh, my goodness, you know, their nose goes up in the air. And then I turn to the guy standing next to me who is just an ordinary customer. And I say to him, if this and this were so, what would you think we should do? He says, oh, I'd press this button, you know. And so I press the button, and lo and behold, it works. You know, he didn't know. He was just going to be, okay, if I were doing this, no skin off my bones, not my computer, I don't have to worry about it. So you just go ahead and press that button, you know, and it'll work. And it did. But you see, this is the fun of it. This is the absolute fun of knowing what you and I know, that all knowledge dwells within us. We are omniscient. We are all wise, all knowing. All we have to do is learn how to let it flow. The Archimedes principle taught the early Egyptians and people back in the early days of Rome and Greece how to lift water from one level to another through their aqueducts to move it through their towns and their cities and bring it to their homes. And because everything wasn't always on exactly the level they wanted it to, and there's water running down here, but none up here. So they used this screw principle to bring the water up there. And in Egypt, they used the screw principle to bring the water out of the Nile into the upper lands to irrigate it. And that was going night and day with the cow going around, or the bull going around, or the sheep going around, or the goats going around, or the children going around, or the wives or the husband going around, and making the Archimedes. It's a very effortless thing. It's just that it had to be turned. And it works beautifully. Look it up in the wiki up on the internet sometime, and see the story of the Archimedes principle. It's just fantastic, just delightful. So, but it's knowledge. Where did Archimedes get the idea in the first place? Yeah? He probably had a straw or a stick in his hand, and he was sitting at the edge of the creek, and the stick had some notches in it. And as he was twisting the stick, the notches carried the water up to other notches and up to other notches, and he's just sitting there twisting it, you know, you're fishing and you're doing nothing. And then, well, look at that, how that works. I wonder if I make these notches more in this here. I wonder if I do that. The mind always wants to get excited about living and being active, and so out these beautiful things come. And that's for you too. That's for you too. You are omniscient. You are all-knowing. Now, stop saying you're not. and stop acting as though you're not. Because Chrissy, she wrote an examination paper, and she wrote a thesis, and she says, oh, I hope it's good, I hope it's good, you know. And instead of doing that, Chrissy should say, let's see, the examination paper, the thesis paper is already done. Now, I'm going to reveal it from my inner self. And then she sits down at her computer and she says, okay, inner self, you're ready to go. The computer's all hot and ready to go here. And so she closes her eyes and goes, and her fingers dancing over the keyboard, and she doesn't even have to see what she's doing. Letter perfect, her thesis, her dissertation comes out fabulous. And whoever reads it, they say, wow, what brilliance. Wow, what simplicity. Wow, what magic. Wow, you are great. And she says, thank you. She doesn't make a bigger fuss over it than that. But you see, she's got the stream going. So then she sits down at the computer again, and she does her dissertation. Sits down at the computer, and she does other things. It's just like her nephew and niece. They're both a couple of geniuses, too. They sit down at their computers and knock things off that they haven't the vaguest idea what they're doing. And they pass. They can pass the top of their classes, you know, because they listen within. I think their mother has taught them to always listen within, and they've listened within, and they do it. Is that what you taught your kids?
Yes.
You know, they're blessed. Well, this is how it can work for you. And when we make school interesting to ourselves, then it's interesting to our inner self to release it. Now, the things I've said to you tonight are varied, not too varied, but a little varied. Now, were they, don't answer me, but were they interesting? Were they compelling? Did it keep you awake, Ingeborg? Did it keep you alert? Did it keep you interested enough to follow me on all the little machinations that I wandered through? Yes, it did. And none of you were irritated at anything I said. All of you were harmonious with everything I said. Therefore, you have learned a great deal in this short period of time, whatever it is here that we're doing it. We're, what was that, 32 minutes? Not bad. Not bad. So, that's a good start. Now, tomorrow morning, let's continue with another beautiful aspect of our revelation and have beautiful things happening.
Thank you.
So have a lovely evening, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.